Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I be blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Journey of the season that is followed up by probably the worst performance of the season so far. It was not pretty. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening, welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here on your Sunday evening from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me here in the studio to look back at yesterday's thoroughly disappointing trip up to the North East to take on Middlesbrough is Mr. Lewis Catt, a man who made that long journey himself. How you doing, Lewis?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Enjoy your day out yesterday?
No, I don't think I'll be going there again.
No chance.
I've been there twice now. We lost both times.
Yeah, so. Well, we always lose there. We've only ever won there once. It's crazy, our record.
Yeah,
it's
miserable, wasn't it?
Yeah, up at Middlesbrough is a particularly poor record, and it did not look like getting any better at any point, unfortunately, yesterday. Goal down inside the first minute, and we never looked like we were going to recover from that. Lee Bowyer very disappointed with the outing from his side. We'll hear from Bowyer later on in the show. We're going to hear the highlights, of course. Once we've heard from Bowes, we're also going to hear from Jason Pearce, the skipper. Came to speak to Terry after yesterday's game as well. We want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you made of yesterday's performance. Let us know how worried you are now about the form that we find ourselves in, injuries or not. We're obviously on a bad run, 8 games without a win. Lost our last 3, lost 5 of our last 6. We're in a nasty little run here. Let us know how you're feeling. Studio at charltonlive.co.uk. Tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on this evening's show. Also, later on, we're going to hear from Dave Thompson from fans supporting food banks. There's going to be some food bank collections here at the 2 home games coming up this week, Tuesday and Friday, against Huddersfield and Hull. So make sure you can bring some donations for that, and we'll hear from Dave. He'll tell us exactly the sort of thing they're after and why they'll be doing that here at the Valley during the week, so make sure you're prepared for that as well. So just before we hear the highlights, Lewis, if that is the word you can use, I mean, that was desperately poor yesterday. And we're on a bad run in terms of form. There has been games within that bad run where we haven't played too badly, but there have been a couple of games now looking a couple of weeks ago, maybe Preston at home, and you know, looking again yesterday, where we have, you know, injuries or not, we've played poorly, and even if we had a fully fit side, if they played like that, they wouldn't have got anything.
Yeah, I thought yesterday was as poor a performance as any. I'd have to go back a long time to think about when we last played that badly. You're always going to sort of suffer that setback if you concede so early. But the game's never dead. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday that we conceded early in the playoff final, you know, and it wasn't dead. It wasn't even as early as yesterday. So there was plenty of time to react, and we just never looked like we were ever going to. And that first half was just one of the worst halves of football I've seen from a Charlton side in a really long time. And I was extremely disappointed because, as you say, we've had performances of late that haven't quite reflected the result, where we've played well against the odds with the injuries that we do have, and we've not come out of it with the result that we maybe feel like we deserved. And Sheffield Wednesday the other week, we thought that their result probably flattered them a little bit, given the performance that we put out with the players we had available. But yesterday was just one of those days at the office that was terrible, and it's one you've got to try and put behind you quickly. And it's probably quite handy that we've got a game so quickly on Tuesday night to try and bounce back, because that was seriously poor.
Yeah, excellent. Well, let's listen to it again. The highlights from Valley Pass. Your commentators are, of course, Greg Stubbley and Terry Smith.
In the centre circle, it skies up in the air. Ledley with his first touch as a Charlton player, but it's deflected into Fletcher. Good tackle by Pearce. It's run the way of Middlesbrough, but again Ledley in. Well, trying to get in the challenge, but just beaten to it. And it's out there to Spence. Ball knocked forward beyond Jason Pearce. He gets his head to it, but it's inadvertently gone into a Samba Longa, trying to make space for the shot. Squirts through the legs of Pearce, and then knocked in because Dylan Phillips couldn't get there. And it's a goal in the opening minute for Middlesbrough.
That's an awful goal for Charlton to concede. Really awful. It's the first minute. They've lost a couple of battles early on. A couple of lucky deflections coming Middlesbrough's way. It's a long ball downfield. Pearce just gets caught underneath it slightly, heads it inside to Samba Longa. Samba Longa on the edge of the box, turns, gets his shot away,
went
takes the deflection
leg
of Pearce. And it comes the way of, I think that's Fletcher again on the end of it, gets their first head of Phillips.
Saville, I think it was,
and
the
then
man
Saville,
finally punched it in.
And then Saville was the one who, as you say, Terry, just finally deflected it in, and that's an awful start.
Comes forward, ball inside to Saville, urged to shoot, takes the shot. Wide right of the right-hand post. I think Dylan Phillips had it covered, but it was a dangerous shot nevertheless.
Charlton needs to change formation, Terry.
Ball forward, looking for Lecco. Can't get there. Headed away by Ayala. Straight up to Fletcher. And Pearce, oh, almost knocked it past Dylan Phillips. And then a snapshot as the ricochet went to Coulson on the left-hand side. It sailed over the bar, but again, Charlton just panicking at the defence.
Matthews takes it quickly.
Potentially a little soft, but as I said before, we'll take it.
Osalaja to Pearce. Out to left to Perrington. It's a bit of a heavy first touch. Oh. And Spence gets there first. And Spence is inside the penalty on the right-hand side. Ball across to Samba Longa. Shooting chance. Great block by Osalaja. Samba Longa again. Over the bar. And a goal kick.
Well, I've got to say, if it wasn't for Deji Osalaja, we'd probably be 3-0 down now. But quite what Ben Perrington was doing now, I have no idea.
Looks to switch the play and does, and finds Coulson. Coulson born to the box. It's a good one towards Tavernier with a shot. And what a chance. Puts it wide. Yeah. No one trapped the runner, Tavernier. The ball into the box is good, and Tavernier should have scored.
Yeah, Darren Prattley just apologising. Should have run with him, didn't.
Across an opportunity. It's a decent looking ball, and at the back post it was a difficult opportunity for Samba Longa, and Matthews probably just did enough just to deny him a free header.
Didn't pounce on that second ball at all when it dropped. Allowed Middlesbrough to get there first. We can't afford to do it.
Perrington inflicts it on, and there is the half-time whistle. Phew. As a tough first 45 minutes for Charlton comes to an end. And there will be a double change. One of them is the return of Lyle Taylor. Kick forward towards Taylor. Immediately gets something on the ball. Comes down to Lecco. Can Taylor get on the ball? He can. It comes back to Lecco. Shooting chance. Oh, he opted to pass it. He had to shoot. But immediately, Lyle Taylor involved. Oh. And Charlton almost had their first opportunity of the game. Well, they did have their first opportunity of the game and should have made more of it.
Oh, Jonathan Lecco.
He's going to take the throw. Short two.
Oh, dear.
Fletcher back heel to Spence. Spence ball across goal. Tavernier, what a chance, and puts it over. And Charlton again guilty of some slack defending. And Middlesbrough should have made it too.
We just stood there and watched for it. Doesn't work, but good work by Doughty to win it back for Charlton. And then Gallagher back on it again inside the penalty area, right at edge. Think about the shot, takes it just over the bar.
and the first real effort in anger from Charlton in this second half, probably in all the game.
Yeah.
Back to Fletcher. Ball in field, that's too easy to call some. Back to Fletcher, shot, lovely save by Dylan Phillips, but we just stood and watched.
Great save from Phillips, he's kept his team in this, and you're spot on, Terry. Just stood and watched, is exactly what happened.
Inside the throw to Morgan, sets Pierce away to his left-hand side. Doughty on the touchline, but Morgan collects it back inside the centre circle. Chip ball looking for Taylor, can he find him? He does. Taylor in the penalty area, takes a shot, blocked away. Can he get the second one? No, just beaten to it by Coulson, and that's a sign that he hasn't played that much.
Yes, it is, and the ball upfield to,
surely he's offside, no. Walker into the penalty area, cuts back in on his right, takes a shot over the bar.
What a chance. How many Middlesbrough haven't scored a second, I'll never know.
No, me neither.
Into the area, cleared away, it'll run to Gallagher. Gallagher trying to get it on his right foot. Can't quite get the space, that's a handball, but it'll run to Morgan. Can he shoot? He does. Into the right, save to the right-hand side by Pears and away for a corner.
Well, I said it, Terry, I still sense Charlton get something in this. Morgan with a great shot, save by Pears for Charlton.
This time, Oshilaja quickly with it, and there's the final whistle. Charlton going down 1-0. A first minute strike by George Saville in a game that apart from maybe three occasions we never really threatened to get into at all.
Yeah, Terry not very happy there, as you could hear with the performance, and well, you can understand why. I think just under, well, just around the 500 mark of travelling supporters up there, and I feel like every single one of them will feel like it was a bit of a wasted journey really. Our first shot, Not like an effort off target. Our first shot in any form came on 70 minutes with Gallagher curling wide. I think we had two shots on target throughout the entire 90 minutes, which were both towards the end. A fairly tame one from Gallagher that the keeper held. Albie Morgan nearly nicking a point at the end, which would have been an absolute disgrace if we'd come away with something. The Middlesbrough would have been gutted. But I mean, it just took forever for Charlton to get going, and it just wasn't. Wasn't what we've become accustomed to at points this season at all.
No, not at all. And we were just so lackluster in possession. With the passing is something that we've got really good at over the last couple of seasons, and we play such nice football on the floor. But yesterday, I can't remember stringing more than three passes together at once to the right player. You know, it was really poor stuff, and even we were losing our battles in midfield, which is something we haven't done for a long time. You know, the likes of Darren Prattley and Joe Ledley yesterday, I thought both had a bit of a tough game. And we've only been talking about how much we've been praising Darren Prattley over the last couple of weeks. And yesterday was a bit of a performance that we're not used to seeing out of him. And all round, it really was just, it was just an awful display. We just never got going. And it's really disappointing because we've had our problems recently with injuries and stuff, and we've managed to salvage things and put in the performances to sort of be like, well, at least we tried, and you feel like clapping them off and giving it a go. But yesterday was just, I was pretty stunned actually, because I'm not used to seeing that sort of performance, yeah, especially under Lee Bowyer.
I think the tone was very much set, wasn't it, inside that first minute. I think it was around the 52 second mark that Middlesbrough took the lead. Britta Sombalonga shot was deflected. It looked like Deji was sort of leaving it for Dylan Phillips to deal with. Fletcher just nips in, manages to sort of take it off Phillips' fingertips, really. And then there's George Saville to just poke it in, former Millwall man, to rub salt into our gaping wounds after 50-odd seconds. But, you know, I mean, even the goal to start off like that, it was a weird goal to see, really. It's just, I was almost expecting a flag or something to go up, just because of the way that everyone seemed to be so still. They just seemed to be standing there like statues at times.
Yeah, we were saying on the journey back last night, weren't we, about how it was one of those goals that it was so soft that you think that, oh, the ref must have blown for something, surely. Yeah. Because everyone stood around and watched it trickle into the net. There was the build-up from that, the ball forward wasn't dealt with overly well by Jason Pearce. It was the header was sort of sent into the path of, I think it was into the path of the Sombalonga, who's one of the most dangerous strikers in the Championship. No arguments about that, regardless of where Middlesbrough are in the table. And it was a bit of pinball in the box, and it just wasn't dealt with. And I thought Dylan came out and sort of made a fairly decent save and made himself big, but Oshilaja seems to sort of freeze in the build up into the actual ball hitting the back of the net, and you find yourself winding down after 50 something seconds, after numerous cancelled trains and everything. Yeah. You're not exactly in the in a good mood about that. But at the same time, after that sort of such a short duration, there's such a long time to get back into that game. And the Charlton of late, you think the football we play and the chances that we can create, you think we'd have every chance of getting back into that game yesterday. But that first half was an utter shambles, and we never looked like waking up.
Yeah, and it's not too often that we question, or we need to question sort of the way we're set up tactically. But I'd just say yesterday, I mean, it was quite clear. Maybe it took 10 minutes before, you know, as the game's settling in, you're thinking, I mean, we're playing the diamond midfield. Middlesbrough are playing three at the back, and then a five-man midfield, if you count the wing-backs in the midfield, which you would do, because, I mean, you'd only count them as part of the back five when they're on the back foot, which they weren't. So John was just completely outnumbered in the middle of the park. Now, I know there's been cases where Bo hasn't quite been able to play the formation perhaps he'd like to because of injuries to key personnel. But it was so clear, you know, early on in that game that we were getting overrun in midfield. We couldn't, as you say, couldn't string the passes together between the midfield players to get any pressure, you know, outside of our half, really, to get the ball out of our half. We just couldn't do it. And it just felt like that there was really a case for perhaps, you know, even just trying to move things about. Just you had to mix it up a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think that the midfield for Middlesbrough, Saville, Clayton and Tavernier, worked well in closing us down and limiting us to our play. But as you say, the diamond left so much space and we were so exposed out wide by Hayden Coulson on one side and Jed Spence, who was making his debut for Bury yesterday, who we were both very impressed with, looked dangerous at times. And given the amount of chances and crosses that they got into the box, we were sort of begging for that to be happening for us, because they were creating everything they did going forward, and every time they went forward, especially out wide, they looked like getting a dangerous ball into the box and scoring a goal. And quite how we went in 1-0, only 1-0 down at half time, I'm not too sure. If we'd have put in something like that against a team in the upper echelons of the table, it could have been seriously devastating stuff, couldn't it? Really, it could have. Yesterday, I'm quite shocked we didn't come away from that at least 4-0 down at half time.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those first halves. I mean, not long after Saville scored, he had that shot that he dragged wide from outside the area, and then we saw a real case of how nervous Charlton looked with that mix up at the back when Pearce tried to play it back to Phillips, who was rushing off his line. Phillips just about was able to clear it. I think it was Coulson for them. He was off target with the rebound. So yeah, there were plenty of chances in that first half. I mean, you're begging for something to change. And just as we were going into first half injury time, I looked down to the bench and I saw Lyle Taylor sort of stripping off, getting ready to warm up at half time. And I'm thinking, yeah, I won't be shocked if Bo chucks him on at half time, because he needed a spark from somewhere. And you know, we had it maybe first 5 minutes of the second period. Taylor literally within the first 30 seconds of the second half caused a little bit of chaos with Lecco unable to latch on the edge of the area. But then after that, it just seemed to go back into that lull, even in the second period.
Yeah, it just seemed to completely fizzle out. And I, like you, when Lyle came on, I was thinking that it's the lift that we needed. You know, he's been out for 14 weeks and we've missed having him around, and we know what he's capable of and what he can create, the goals that he can score, and that presence he brings on the pitch as well. I think we needed somebody like that yesterday. And he came on and the immediate impact was there. Like you say, we created a hatful of chances and tried getting back into the game, but it just still wasn't quite going our way. And then, as you say, yeah, it did really fizz out sort of in that middle period of the second half. Lyle seemed to be getting caught drifting out wide quite a lot and working. I saw him sort of tracking back to cover right back and everything. And you don't need him there. You need him in the box, really. Like, yeah, when you're trailing 1-0, and your key man comes on, he's covering that amount of ground to try and get back. Something's not right. And especially with the creativity we had, especially when Albie came on. I thought Albie Morgan came on and did himself a bit of justice yesterday. I was fairly disappointed not to see him start, but I'm not gonna question Lee Bowyer because he's the man. But, you know, I was a bit gutted for Albie because he's impressed me over the recent weeks. When we've needed him, I feel like he's stepped up to the plate. And I think he probably should have started yesterday, in my opinion, over Joe Ledley, who's only been here a week. And I think it was fairly unfair to chuck him in so early because he had to be hauled off at half time, and then you find yourself changing it up that quickly.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a bit more about Joe Ledley later on. But, you know, we did have a couple of chances towards the end. You mentioned Morgan there. He probably had the best of them with that volley from just half volley from just outside the area. The keeper did well to tip away, and two shots from Conor Gallagher as well. But I mean, chance creation was just so low yesterday. So again, something that we don't really come to expect. We expect to see a little bit more from them, and that's perhaps why it was such a surprise yesterday to see a performance like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've been through patches like this before, and we've had the performances to back it where we've just been unlucky. I mean, we said so many times yesterday on the way back, if we'd have gone 1-0 down that early and the rest of the game was just an unbelievable defensive display by Middlesbrough and their keeper pulled out save after save after save, and we were just unlucky that we'd had that single lapse in concentration at the start of the game, we'd be coming away thinking, well, that's unlucky, but at least the performance was there. But it wasn't there at all. You know, Middlesbrough scored, and the only side that reacted from Middlesbrough going 1-0 up was Middlesbrough. And Bayobi, I imagine, would have been extremely disappointed. The people in the stands I was with yesterday were extremely disappointed. And I just hope that we can bounce back now. We are getting players back slowly but surely. Lyle getting minutes yesterday is a positive, 100%. What happens with him on Tuesday, whether he comes in from the start now and we try and change it up a little bit, we will see. And one person we really missed yesterday, in my opinion, was Tom Lockyer, because I just think that he shores up the defence even more so than Piercy at the moment. And I think we really missed him yesterday, especially in those situations where we lapsed so much in concentration with the errors and the silly passes. You know, I don't know whether I'm being too harsh, or it was one of those days where nothing goes your way. You know, everyone has a bad day at the office, don't they? And I think yesterday was that for our players.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned then, so Joe Dedley was signed on a short-term contract, just a month during the week. He was announced on Friday morning. 32-year-old midfielder, obviously been at Cardiff, been at Palace, been in the Welsh international squad, comes in to us. I was reasonably surprised to see him chuck straight in, just because he hasn't played football for so long. He'd been without a club since January, which is a very long time. But he came straight in. Again, I mean, you still have to say, well, no one really shone yesterday, so it might be overly harsh. But he wasn't great, if we're being honest. He didn't look head and shoulders above anyone else that we had yesterday, put it that way.
No, he just wasn't match sharp, was he, whatsoever. We know he's a good player. We know he's got something about him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have bothered signing him, you know. And the issue we had with him yesterday was that he was just off. So he was half a millimetre even behind other people in terms of what they were doing. He was slightly off the pace with the passing. His passing wasn't overly accurate. It's just game. It's match time, isn't it? And match fitness. It's such a high tempo league now, the Championship. And you're talking about somebody that's not played for a club for a year. He got released by Derby last January, I believe, and he's obviously been training in the meantime and keeping himself fit. But you can't compare that to an actual match atmosphere, can you? Really? And I think that he'd have missed that, yes, especially yesterday. Like, Middlesbrough are a team scrapping for their lives a little bit down the bottom, needed a result, they're at home. Maybe in my eyes we should have started Albie, created a little bit more in that first half, and then if we'd have ended up taking the lead, and for us to shore it up, you bring on Joe Ledley as more of a defensive midfield option, because he didn't create anything really in that diamond. I couldn't work out whether he was at the base or Prattley was at the base, because they both seemed to be just on top of each other the whole time yesterday, and that's another thing. It's going to take time to build up those relationships, isn't it, and work out how each other play and everything like that. So I was as you say, a little bit shocked to see him start, but I think there's more to come from him. I think he's a good player and will be a good asset. I just think yesterday probably came a little bit too soon for him.
Yeah, I mean, but there is still to be said. Like I say, I think the way that we were set up in that midfield anyway, I mean, our passing would have had to be bang on yesterday, just because they were so outnumbered there. We would have had to pass away around them, and that just didn't seem to happen. And that's what I do wonder, if the early goal knocks the confidence a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, Bowyer must have been scratching his head as to why, you know, normally competent players haven't been able to put passes together.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think we can use the early goal as too much of an excuse. You know, like I said at the start of the show, with the playoff final, you know, we passed it into our own net after 5 minutes, and we managed to come back from that. You know, so conceding after 53 seconds or whatever it was yesterday, it gives you even more time to get back into it. And really, we should have reacted better. We're capable of a lot more. We've shown that in so many games this season that we're capable of a lot more. We can create more. We've got players now. Of course, we've had injuries, but players in that 11 yesterday are more than capable of getting someone out of a Middlesbrough side that are struggling at the wrong end of the table. And we just didn't get going for whatever reason yesterday. Something didn't go right, and it's pretty tough to take, because it's a long time since we've sat in here and spoken about a Charlton performance that we've been overly disappointed about. You know, we've had defeats, of course we have, but this season especially, we've seen it as with the such a good start that we did have. We knew we were going to lose at some points, and we were overachieving, and we're looking at it on the back of yesterday. That's the first time I think we've sat in here and been really disappointed with how we turned up under Lee Bowyer, and I think a reaction is needed massively on Tuesday night.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what did you make of Lyle Taylor? Obviously came on at half time, was involved in a move early on, had a volley that was sort of blocked towards the end of the game as well. Obviously, again, he's been out for, 3 months you're looking at. He's never going to be fully fit, but, you know, you could tell when he first came on, it just gave Middlesbrough something to think about, even if that did sort of fizzle out until the last 5 minutes or so after that.
Yeah, definitely. It gave us a lift on the pitch and off it. You know, as soon as we saw him running out and getting stripped up to come on, we were, you know, the whole crowd's lifted. You see your star man coming back after 14 weeks out. You know, we've missed him, you know, horrendously, let's be honest. And to see him come back is a massive positive on yesterday. I think Bowyer said in his presser, we'll hear later anyway, that he probably got longer than we thought we wanted to get out of him yesterday. So we've got to manage it, because it was an injury that kept him out for a long time. You don't want to get him out again for a similar period. So we've got to bed him in gently. So I tried not to have too much of a judgment on him yesterday, because I thought he did give us a lift, but also that as there was with Joe Ledley, there was a bit of that rustiness in there, and we had a bad game collectively yesterday. So if we'd have come in and we were playing a lot better, then it would have been easier to judge him. I think yesterday we brought him on for a reaction, but probably a little bit unfairly given the amount of time he's been out.
So I mean, what did you make of Borough then, because obviously they're another team that are down there. We now have to start saying we're almost a club that can be considered down there. We're still 7 points above the drop zone. Middlesbrough are 4 points above it after beating us yesterday. They're only their second win in, I think, 12 games or 13 games, both of which have been their last two home games. So they've obviously just started to pick up a little bit of form at the Riverside Stadium for a team that we may or may not therefore have been a mini league with as the season goes on. I mean, how do you think they compare to us?
I wasn't overly impressed with them, really. I thought that they were created a fair bit, but didn't take it. As we said earlier, they could have beaten us 4 or 5 nil yesterday. Let's not beat around the bush. But I thought, in terms of their actual passing play in that, the first half they were okay, but I think we just made them look good. I don't think actually they were that great. And it's weird to see them down there, because we used to see Middlesbrough sort of at the upper end of the table. And the last time I was there, they were competing to finish in the top two. And they've got big name players in there at this level. You know, the Johnny Howsons, Adam Clayton, who's been there a long time. Brittason Belonga, we've touched on already, is one of the most dangerous strikers in the division. So to see them down there was a bit of a surprise. But I know they've had their injury problems as well. You know, the likes of Lewis Wing and people like that that couldn't feature yesterday. So and Anthony Dixdale, of course. So I think it's one of those sides where they've just had a bit of a tough run and a bit of tough luck with injuries as well, and obviously a rookie manager in Jonathan Woodgate, so he's still learning his trade there. I imagine they'll be all right, judging by how they played yesterday. I think we've played worse sides than that this season above Borough in the division, so I think they'll be all right.
Right, of course. Well, you mentioned Jonathan Woodgate there, one of Lee Bowyer's former Leeds United teammates. So I caught up with Lee after yesterday's defeat up at the Riverside. I wanted to find out what he made of his side's performance, and the Addicts boss was not pleased with what he saw.
Not good enough. From start to finish, they was better than us. We defensively, I thought we was not physical enough. Thought the two strikers run us ragged at times. So yeah, too many crosses came into the box. They just didn't seem that, I don't know, that fight. And it wasn't like one or two, it was like the whole lot. So I think it's one of them you have to just move on quickly, because if there's one thing that I've been able to stand here and say after every game, is that we competed and we fought and we gave everything. And today, we fell short there. We fell short on the physical side of the game. And normally that's a good plus for us. So, but today it wasn't that.
I guess losing a goal inside the opening minute is always going to put you on the back foot, but it just didn't seem like a normal Charlton display, particularly in the first half today.
No, first half it was very, very bad. Made changes at half time and then I thought we was a bit better second half, or a lot better second half than what we was first half. But again, still not to our normal selves. So yeah, we have to go in tomorrow and go through things and get it right for Tuesday. So the only positive that I could take from today was that Lowell came on and got 45 minutes into him. That's the only positive for me. Apart from that, it was a bad day.
It was good to see, of course, Lowell coming back, and I guess we're still well aware of the injury situation, but if you're looking now, going 8 games without a win, you're just starting to think we need to get these bodies back and start picking up those results again.
Yeah, because it's tough. It's tough when you've got that, what, 12, 13 out have we got? It's tough. Like I said before, I've said it, that if you take 12, 13 players out of any squad, it's going to be tough. But I know we've come through this, but we just need a bit of help, you know. Just need some of them bodies to come back, and Lowell today has come back, and okay, a little bit off of it, but you can see what we miss. He fights, he competes for every ball, and puts dangerous balls in the box, and to be fair, the ball that he hit. Got good block from the defender. That was flying, so that would have ended up in the back of the net. But most important thing is that he's back. Got 45 minutes into him, and we're trying to do the same on Tuesday with him.
You spoke about needing some help. You managed to get some in this week, of course, in Joe Ledley. And might be slightly too early to judge just on 45 minutes. But what are you hoping that he can bring to the side?
Experience. He's got bundles of experience. It's only like a month's contract, so we're just to help us out bodies wise because we just don't have the bodies. So bring his experience and help these young lads through this period.
But do you think he's got a chance of getting a longer contract if he can prove himself inside this month?
It's all ifs and buts. He has to come and do well, and then that's something that we might talk about. But as it stands, he. Most important thing is that he gets in and training and try and get his fitness up.
So there's always going to be bad news as well when it comes to injuries. Unfortunately, that seems to be the Charlton way, and no Aaron Oztimer today. Can you give us any information on why that was?
He's injured. he's done some ligaments in his ankle, so he's in the boot at the moment. He's from the challenge he took last week. So, yeah. He's struggling at the moment.
So that's going to be another few weeks for him as well then?
I'd say at least a couple of weeks, I'd say, yeah.
And also, you were hoping Chucks might have been on the bench there. Was it just a game too soon for him?
No. Chucks broke down on Thursday. So the first day that he trained with us, he's been outside for a week, 10 days, working on his fitness and done all, passed all the tests there, and then his first day training with us, which wasn't even a physical day, he ended up pulling a different muscle.
It's not the same one.
So five, now Chucks has had five different muscle injuries since the summer. Not the same muscle, different muscles. So it's not good. So obviously we was hoping that he was going to be on coming off the bench, but we lost him.
So I guess obviously it's now a quick turnaround and an unusual situation where you're playing two evening games in 1 week with your squad as it is. It's going to be tough to get them going again, but you're going to have to find that way as you often do.
Yeah, and that's what we do. We're regroup and we dust ourselves down and we go again Tuesday. So we'll be better Tuesday. I can assure you, the lads will be up for him and firing. To be fair, that was the first time that I've actually not been too happy with their work rate, if you like. So it's not bad going in 18 months. So, yeah. But it's just disappointing because I felt this was a place we could come and maybe take the 3 points.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's shot.
Yes!
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 Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You're absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, this is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening there. We just heard from the Addicts boss Lee Bayer after yesterday's defeat, disappointing defeat up at Middlesbrough, 1-0. George Savile with the goal inside the opening minute. And yeah, he weren't happy, Bayer. I mean, you don't often hear him in a good mood anyway, I guess. But he could tell the frustration there. He sounded a bit bemused by what happened, because like you say, you don't get performances like that from his side too often.
No, I share his frustrations, to be honest, and I think that's why I feel so flat about all of it, is that I'm so used to not seeing us perform like that. You know, even the games where we have lost before, and we've still had something about us, and I've always felt like we had a chance to get back into it, but yesterday just. There was absolutely nothing about it at all, and it was really hard to sort of like galvanise what was going on when we were sat in the stands, and you're 1-0 down inside the first minute. You're thinking, there's a long time to go. Can we pick this up? But you know, Bowyer said it there. Like we just didn't get going. We never looked like getting going yesterday for whatever reason. So it's disappointing now, and it is hard to take. You just want to brush yourselves down and kick on, because, as we say, two games in quick succession this week, and they're both at home, both very important. So we've got to start turning it around quickly before, as we said off air, we start getting dragged into the wrong end of the table.
That's what I was going to say, because obviously I said to Bo there, like injuries or not, he's going to be fully aware. It's now 8 games without a win. Like I said, we've still got that buffer above the relegation places of 7 points. Wigan in 22nd, the team at the top of the relegation zone. But you've got Huddersfield, who are coming here on Tuesday. They're only 2 points above Wigan. I mean, if they drag us in, I mean, they could only be 2 points behind us. All of a sudden, like, you're getting sucked down. You're dropping down places. I mean, that's when it's injuries or not. That's when you don't want to get locked into this long, hard run of results that start to affect you mentally as well. Because, you know, they always say that winning breeds confidence, and it could be the same, you know, the opposite for defeats. You get sucked into a losing run that goes on and on and on. And no matter how many players come back, you'll start to wonder where your next win's going to come from anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And especially at this period of the season, when it's the Christmas season, and we have that spell of game after game after game. And we've got it this week, really, where we've got 3 games in the space of 6 days, and we're looking at a squad already that's fairly depleted and is struggling for numbers, and we've got 3 difficult games in that space of 3 days. And at least these next two are at home. I feel like we can always get something at home. But Huddersfield, a team down that end of the table as well, again, a bit of a shock considering some of the players they've got in their side. And it's going to be a tough ask Tuesday. But we've got to play like such a polar opposite to how we played on Saturday to get anything out of that game. So it's going to be a serious amount of work over, I don't know if they're in today. Or,
yeah, they're in today.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to be some serious hard work for the next couple of days as we prep for that game.
And obviously, we can't go through an interview with Lee Bowyer without a new injury surfacing. So I think we knew before the game that Aaron Osthuma was going to be out and he had something. So that sounds like a few weeks with his ligaments from a challenge from that Sheffield Wednesday game. Chucks Anike out as well. You know, we were surprised to see him not on the bench. I assumed it was just going to be a case of, oh, it's just come slightly too soon for him. But now he's broken down with a new injury. So Bowyer mentioned it there, 5 muscle injuries. Now, I'm no expert, that's the problem. But, I mean, you could tell Bowyer sounded frustrated with that. You know, I mean, when you're picking up injuries like that over and over again, clearly something's not quite right, whether it's the player not training or not keeping himself in the right shape, whether it's the player being rushed back too early. I mean, that's what I don't know, but clearly Bayer's not happy with something there.
No, and it's a similar story we've had all season with Chucks. It seems like every time he's either been back in the side and looked like sort of trying to stabilise himself in a match day 18, something happens and he's out for a spell, and now he's been out for that spell and we're looking at like getting him back, and at a good period for him really, because of the injuries we do have, he's got an opportunity to come in and sort of stamp his claim on that, on a starting berth, if you like, because he's not really had that opportunity yet. And he seems to break down again and with a different injury as well. And I think that's the frustration. You can almost understand if it's the same muscle and it's something that's recurring, because then you can probably investigate it more. But it's a different injury this time. And I imagine it's extremely frustrating for Chucks, but for us as well, you know, a squad that's already low on bodies, to be looking... last week thinking, oh, we'll have Lyle back Saturday, we'll have Chucks back as well, you could potentially have Johnny Williams in a couple of weeks as well, and you start slowly getting that feed of players dripping back, and then you get another setback in a player that's on the horizon of coming back, and all of a sudden he's we don't even know how far away he's going to be now, because if these injuries keep reoccurring with Chucks, then there's going to have to be, you know, serious investigation as to why, from not just for our sakes, but for his sakes as a professional footballer, because it's not normal to break down as much as he has done this season. I don't know what his injury record was like at MK Dons.
He seems to play quite a lot of games over the last couple of seasons.
So I don't know whether he's not taken to our training, who knows. But regardless, you know, you got to wish him a speedy recovery and everything, and I hope they can get to the bottom of what it is, because as a professional, to break down in quick succession with a different injury to what you had last time is extremely frustrating.
Yeah, and obviously, like we said, the absence of Aaron Osthuma yesterday, and there was no, obviously, Johnny Williams, who's probably a week or two away by the sounds of it. I think Bo said Johnny might be involved for Friday as a possibility. But, you know, I do think we missed a player like that yesterday, to someone to find a link in between the strikers, because I thought Lecco and Bond were so isolated yesterday. They rarely saw the ball, particularly in the first half. I think when Lecco had it, he tried his best to try and make something happen, but he'd often just run into traffic, as he sometimes does, unfortunately. And you just think, out of the two, you know, out of Osthuma and Williams, if we could have had a body or a player like that yesterday, it might have made a bit of a difference. So to have to be without the pair of them, you know, definitely on Tuesday at least, I mean, that will be another worry for Bowyer.
Yeah, it will be. And I'm sort of gutted for Ozzy, really, because over the last couple of weeks, I think he's played his part. I thought he played well against Sheff Wednesday. I think he played well against in the game before that against Cardiff as well. But took a knock in both of those games, because he's that player, you know, similar to Johnny Williams, where he winds a player up, really, doesn't he, by being so tricky and getting in between, and he's just kicked all over the place. So it's a real setback for us, because I think Osthuma is... I was starting to see the signs as to why we'd signed him over the last few weeks. I think when I was looking at the team sheet yesterday, he was one of the first names I was looking for on the team sheet, because I thought, as you say there, if you were going to get an impact out of somebody in a game like that yesterday, I think Osthuma would have been someone that could have pulled the strings. And it was really frustrating to see that he wasn't there. And yet again, it's another injury. So hopefully nothing too serious, and it's only a couple of weeks at worst, and we can get him back as soon as, because if Johnny's only a week or two away as well, it'd be a real strength, especially over this Christmas period, you know, the likes when we're going to have QPR Bristol and that in a short space of time, to be able to move between those two so we don't risk in them breaking down again. I think it's key to have the rotation between Johnny and yeah. Ozzie as well, because we all know what Johnny's injury record's like, and touch wood so far this season, apart from this spell, he'd been getting consistent minutes in. But to have somebody backing up like Ozchimer as well is a positive. So if we can get both of them fighting fit as soon as possible, I think it's only going to benefit us.
Yeah. Right, don't forget we're going to hear from Jason Pearce later on in the show, with the Addicts skipper coming out to speak to Terry yesterday. And we're going to hear from Dave Thompson from Fans Supporting Food Banks with the collections planned at the next two home games coming up this week. But let's have a look at some of your tweets. F. James was the first one to get involved last night. In fact, actually a couple more came before that. So Bob said, I never questioned Boya's decisions, but starting Ledley was a howler. No game time in nearly a year. It can't be right, regardless of how desperate we are. I mean, I was slightly surprised when I saw that Ledley had come straight in, obviously with the likes of Morgan sat on the bench. But Boya must have seen something in training. And I mean, Joe Ledley did say himself that he's been good at keeping himself fit. He's got a natural fitness level that suggested to him that he would be able to come in and to make a difference yesterday. So, but it was a surprising decision in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that yes, he's kept himself conditioned, but as I've said already, I don't think keeping yourself fit away from a match atmosphere is the same as playing a run of games. And we've had it with Albie and Darren Prattley and stuff like that. They've played a run of games, so they're gonna be match sharp. You know, we didn't get that out of Ledley yesterday. It's frustrating because I know there's gonna be more to come from him, but it sort of set him off on a bit of a bad start. And I just hope that he's sort of not judged on how he performed yesterday, because there's plenty more to come from him.
Yeah, I mean, Inquisitive Ram, who was a Derby supporter who also has a season ticket at Charlton because they live in the local area, actually tweeted us on Friday after Joe Ledley signed, saying that he joined Derby under similar circumstances, kept himself fit and was ready very quickly, and he did well. So hopefully, let's say once he's had another game or two, he'll be okay. Right, a tweet came in from Mitch. Just had to do the walk of shame away from the Riverside. Thousands of Teesiders were laughing at us. That was actually the highlight of the afternoon. The most impressive Addict was Ledley's beard. He was more lively than him. Yeah, he does have one hell of a beard. It looks like Father Christmas before he started going grey. It's an absolute work of art, that is. Right, Ev, good evening. Inept. Under par, we were firing blanks. Not good enough, but we all know we have horrendous injuries and no replacements. Takeover talks are only talk at this time. We work with what we have. Our away support is superb, though, and it will inspire the squad. We need to resolve the takeover as soon as possible and bolster up the whole squad. I'm not talking millions, just good, decent, hard-working players that want to be successful with Charlton. I'm not despairing. I'm still saying it's going to be a Leeds versus Charlton playoff final. The championship is so unpredictable that you never know what will happen next. On to Tuesday, and hopefully a hard-earned 3 points. Good luck to you all. That's from Ev James there. Yeah, still predicting the playoff final, which I'm willing to probably write off now. But,
yeah,
but I mean, Ev saying, you know, it is a case of just making sure we keep ourselves going until January now, and assuming the takeover will be, you know, all signed, sealed and delivered by then. And I know Matt Sarford travelled up yesterday to watch the game. Then it's a chance to rebuild and to put together whatever we need to try and stabilise us in the championship. Now, the only thing I will say is, don't forget, we're on 23 points already. We probably need about 45 to stay up, so we need 22 more points. You get 5 wins, 15 of those points, and 7 draws. That's all we need for the rest of the season. We need 5 wins. We'll pick up 7 draws with our eyes shut. 5 wins over the course of the season. It's definitely doable. You know, I think we're in a good position to stay up, and if we get to that January transfer window, get that takeover, get whatever Lee Bayer needs, couple of bodies in, just shore everything up, we'll be fine.
I agree with you. You know, we had a bit of a dip last year, didn't we? Around Christmas time, we always seems to be the Charlton way, doesn't it? To have a bit of a dip in form at this point, but yeah, hopefully we can get the takeover buttoned up in the next couple of weeks, and look forward to January and having a couple, you know, resources to actually spend. Hopefully, but I think he made a good point in the email there about, We don't need the millions. We want to make sure that we're resourced to get in the players that we think that Steve Gannon and Lee Bowyer think are right. You know, we're not going to be going out there and lumping a load of money on Lionel Messi, are we? So you want to make sure you bring in the right player. So we've got to look forward to that and just know that we'll have our targets and we'll be able to go out and compete in the market to get those targets, I think is the positive in that.
Sam Cooper says, injuries or not, the squad has been put together to be able to compete and we just aren't at the races. Bowyer has said time and time again that players bought in are meant to improve the squad. So how can we blame poor results and performances on the injuries? I guess the only thing you can say is, I mean, yes, you build a squad and yes, you accept there will be some injuries. But I mean, as Bowyer said during the interview, I mean, this is almost unprecedented. It feels like 13. I mean, we went to Borough yesterday and they were moaning about their injury crisis and they were still in single figures. It's like you're taking a mick. They only had 8 out. I mean, we had what, 12, 13 still out yesterday. We had 14 out last week when we had that sickness going around as well. I mean, there is a certain amount of contingency built in when you build a squad to try and deal with injuries. But I mean, this is something that is a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I've never seen an injury crisis like it. And of course it's frustrating we're not getting the results. But at the same time, if you take 13 players out of any side in that Championship's match day squad, they'd struggle. I don't want to pin how we performed yesterday on injuries, because I don't think that is right, because over other weeks we have performed and not got the result. I think that it's hard to judge yesterday on that. I think that it's extremely harsh, the position that we are in. It just seems to be the Charlton way with injuries at the moment. And we did put a squad together to compete, but you look at the squad that we put together, how many of the people that we brought in the summer are out injured at the moment. That's the issue, isn't it? You know, and unfortunately, this time of year, as we've seen with Connor and with Lox yesterday, we're racking up the points where people are starting to pick up their fifth booking, and then you're missing them as well. And it's just like, you know, rubbing salt in the wounds, isn't it? Missing Lockie yesterday, Connor last week, Prattley before that. You know, it's just a really difficult time, and an unfortunate period of the season to be getting all these injuries. So it's just. It is crazy. I don't think any team can compare. When, like you say, people moaning about, I don't know how many they had yesterday. Was it 8 or 9 or something like that?
Yeah.
See, that's a bad number if they're moaning about it. You know, 9.
I mean, that's the talk of the town when we're going up there, is we've got an injury crisis. But like I say, they've only got 8. So, and we've got so much more. I mean, yeah, so Connor and Darren both actually picked up their 6th yellow card of the season yesterday. Yeah. So if they get 10 before the cut-off, and I can't remember when that is, but I think it's some point in the new year, then they could both be out for 2 games. Your next ones will be Macaulay Bonn and Dylan are both on 3, so they're a couple of bookings away. I can't remember Dylan getting booked. He must have been for Malvin off a few times over the course of the season.
Wednesday, didn't
yeah, for, oh yeah, of course, yeah, for getting involved with the referee, I dare say. So yeah, some more potential problems there on the horizon. Something to look forward to. Right, Jim tweeted in, "We were dreadful. It was a shocking performance. However, it was nice to see Lyle Taylor back, and I felt he did well. Pierce has been poor for a while now. It was a rare poor game from Connor. Ledley looked all right, although clear he wasn't fit. Doughty again looked all right." I mean, Jim saying he wasn't too impressed with Piercy yesterday. Do you think there was room for improvement there from the skipper?
I think there's room for improvement for everybody. I think it's hard to pin it on a single player yesterday. Piercy has been incredibly consistent and made some incredibly important tackles and put in some incredibly important performances in a Charlton shirt. And I think everyone yesterday had a bad day. I don't think Piercy's had that many bad games in a Charlton shirt, really. So I think I'd be willing to let him off of yesterday, given what he brings to the club in terms of leadership quality. And, you know, we all love Jason Pierce for the fact that he does put in those no-nonsense tackles that leaves everyone in the crowd sort of wincing at if the person's going to get up. And he's an important person to have around the club. And I don't think, as I say, yesterday can be pinned on a lot more than just one person. I think everybody yesterday was pretty poor.
Yeah. Prattley's Pocket said, "I think we looked disjointed yesterday and lacked chemistry, a complete lack of movement and legs in the midfield. I would like to see us go more direct and put in some more crosses." Dave Boyer just said it was a meh performance, which sums it up quite nicely. Marion said it was not a great result. Let's hope the better things are around the corner. Now, also, I did ask for people's views on Joe Ledley yesterday. I mean, Adam just said he wasn't very good. Mel said he reminded me of Lepois, just not as fit. But obviously not impressed with his original performance. But Richard Justin said, I was happy when we signed him, but what is his motivation? Is he looking for a recall to the Welsh squad, or is he looking for a gig in the MLS? If it's for the former, then he is a snip. I hope he's given the chance to get fit. I think he should be on the bench, though I was amazed that he started. Liam says it's frustrating because injuries aside, the performance recently just haven't been good enough at all. We got shown up by a team that have been consistently poor this season, and we know our players are capable of more. Very interested to see what happens during the transfer window. Now, I mean, if you were given the funds to go out and build, you know, not go out, like say, and spend millions, I mean, what would you think would be the main area on the pitch that you'd want to improve right now?
It's difficult because we're short in midfield, but once they're all back, that midfield's decent, isn't it? You know, Josh Cullen, Johnny Williams, Aaron Ostuma, you know, Prattley's had a good performance. You almost want to go out and get a Darren Prattley, but 10 years younger, don't you?
Mm.
And defensively, I think we're looking a little bit weak on the flanks, left back and right back at the moment. I thought Matthews has done okay since he's come in. I don't think Perrington's had his best couple of games in a Charlton shirt. So maybe they're areas we'd look at. And up top, potentially, only because I think Lyle and Macca are looking fairly decent, but Chucks keeps breaking down. Hemed's broken down at the moment. We're not seeing anything out of Tomei. I don't know when he's due back. Lecco, you can count as a striker, but he's on loan. So probably a striker. I mean, the ideal signing in my eyes, I'd love to see Ivan Toney. To see Ivan Toney in a Charlton shirt. I think he is a Charlton striker, just sculpted to play for Charlton. I think he's like the perfect. He's like another Lyle Taylor, isn't he? He's got like the sort of arrogance about him and that sort of the thing that if you're playing against him, you hate him. If he plays for you, you adore him. If he plays against you, you absolutely hate him. He's one of those players, and I think we need somebody like that. And obviously securing Lyle. That's got to be the aim. Is it the main thing is securing Lyle Taylor? Because if he goes, then our business completely changes in January.
Yeah, right. Anthony says, is there any good news on players coming back from injury? My concern is the longer this goes on, the pressure starts to build. And even with the players coming back, we can't get out of this trouble because of the pressure. Well, I say hopefully Johnny Williams. I don't know if Hemed might not be too far away. I mean, you hope to get a couple back before Christmas just because it is such a busy schedule. I mean, even this week, by the time we finished on Friday, it would have been 3 games in 7 days, which is a hell of a lot to put your squad through. Rob says, another defeat that with a fully strengthened team, I would expect us not to lose. We just need to keep positive, stay true to our beliefs and stick together. There are still good times ahead. Mitch adds, Ledley looked sloppy. Ben was out of it. Deji looked lost. I'm a Prattley fan, but he had a shocker yesterday. Connor run like a crazed man. Lyle looked sharp, but lonely. Albie and Alfie also looked good. But to be honest, no matter who looked good, I wish I had not seen any of it. Yeah, I think I think I can understand that, yeah, Mitch, because it was not the most entertaining of games or the best of performances. London Innit Geezer, whose good run of Charlton not losing at games is well and truly over now, because he was there yesterday. Pretty much a complete non-event. We were poor, lacking in any ideas whatsoever. After conceding within seconds, we may as well have packed up and gone home. Very depressing. Only plus was Taylor getting 45 minutes into him. Other than that, nothing positive to say about it at all. Sarah Saunders says she's getting fed up with injuries being an excuse. Nothing more to add on that. Scott is talking about the food banks, which we'll come on to later. Charlton Exile was a game to forget, obviously, but on the plus side, Lyle Taylor got 45 minutes under his belt. We can't be that bad again on Tuesday. And hey, Roland's gone and January sales to come, so still reasons to be cheerful. And Sebo says it was just an out of character performance at Middlesbrough, just a bad day at the office, I reckon. Right, I think it's time to hear from the skipper, Jason Pearce. He came to speak to Terry after the game. He said it couldn't have got off to a worse start for his side.
Nah, obviously, horrendous start. If you want to come away from home and stay solid for the first 15-20 minutes. Obviously, we conceded after less than a minute, I think it was. So, yeah, terrible start, and then we just didn't get going. I think we weren't good enough today, and like playing against any team in this league, we got to win the battle first. I've said it before. and we didn't win the battle today. They seem to want it more than us, and yeah, we're obviously massively disappointed.
Does that sort of start shape what happens in the rest of the game? It puts them on the front foot, puts us on the back foot, and that's why we couldn't get into it.
Well, yeah, it's obviously not a great start, but still, we didn't win the battle. First and foremost, you have to win the battle to win any game for me, and we didn't, so we're not going to get anything out of the game.
Difficult to put your finger on, because I mean it's not something that Charlton fans would have seen too often. You know, a game that we just struggled to even get a foothold in. Because normally, even if you know, nobody can fault the commitment or effort, and that's not in question. But normally, even when we're on the back foot, we create chances. And very few today.
Yeah, no, it was an off day. Like you said, normally we got a group that gives their all. I don't think people didn't give their all, because they give their all. Wasn't quite our day, and we didn't win the battle. Don't really know what to say, because it's not good enough, really. Like, we've got to do better, and I think for me, like, the quicker we realise we're in a battle now, the better, because we got to improve and improve quickly.
Does the fact that we got a game on Tuesday help that we can get straight back on it quickly, put this away, forget about it if we can, including the, you know, we had 500 supporters make their way up here, and they're going to get back to the Valley on Tuesday and see a performance that maybe puts this away?
Yeah, I think whenever you have a bad performance or bad result, it's always good to have a game straight away. So yeah, that's a positive. But like, obviously, I thank we on behalf of the players, and I thank the fans that made the travels up here. Obviously, apologise for the performance today. Obviously, it wasn't good enough, and they've travelled a long way to watch us and support us. So, listen, we'll do our best as a team and as a squad to try and put that right on Tuesday. And obviously, we'll keep fighting for the shirt and doing our best.
As a squad, obviously, we've seen players crocked on a far too regular basis. And Aaron Ostrom is another one who's gone down. Jackson Ike broke down again. It's good that Lyle's come back. Is it good for the squad to see more players coming back as quickly as possible?
Yeah, obviously, like, it's really disappointing when you get so many injuries. I've never seen it like it has been this season before in my career. But yeah, obviously, to get someone like Lyle back in the squad and see him come on today, and it's only going to boost us. But you know, going back to today's performance, I think we got to hold our hands up. Wasn't good enough. So we'll try and put that right on Tuesday, and yeah, hopefully we get a few more lads back.
Live. There we go, Jason Pearce there. After yesterday's defeat up at Middlesbrough, it sounded a bit shell-shocked, really, didn't we? Talking a lot about how Charlton didn't win the battle there in the, you know, going out and earn their right to play. And that certainly seemed to be the case, because I mean, when they did have the ball, they certainly weren't playing. But they just it felt like in that first half, every time we tried to get out of our own third, every time Middlesbrough were just there, and they just dispossessed us so comfortably yesterday that we were never able to really get a head of steam going.
No, we never were, and it didn't help the fact that our passing was so poor, and we were just so careless in possession, and we gifted them a lot of possession yesterday in terms of giving the ball away and your short passes and everything like that. And it really was so out of character. It's hard going over it, really, isn't it? Because it was that poor. So it can't get any worse than that. Fingers crossed and touch wood. So let's hope that we get a reaction for the sake of the season, really, because we're falling into a bit of a sticky patch. Yeah. You know, we've won with the games we've got coming up in terms of numbers of games, because it's a difficult period of the season over Christmas. And two, we're sort of heading towards the lower end of the table, and the people down at that lower end of the table are starting to pick up results. So it's starting to get tighter at the bottom now. So we've got that cushion from earlier in the season, because we had a fantastic start, and it shows now just how important that start was, doesn't it? Because if we hadn't hit the ground running like we did at the start of the season, we'd be in serious trouble now. So
yeah.
But that shows because we had a start of the season.
It shows we can still do it. It shows we can still do it.
We're a fully fit side. It shows that we can compete. You know, we're not in this division to make up numbers, and we've not been hammered while we've had this injury crisis. It was 1-0 yesterday and a frustrating performance. It wasn't like we got trounced 4-0 and didn't turn up. It was 1-0. They created chances, didn't take any of them. We didn't create a lot and look poor. But you look at the other games we've lost recently, arguably didn't deserve to lose all of those. So we can compete. Once we've got a fully fit side, I think we can beat anyone in the division. So there's a long way to go, you know, long way to go.
Right, I like this from Ray on the Charlton Life Forum. Says, with all the Welsh players coming in, can you confirm the name change of the ground to the Valleys instead of the Valley, which is good. Right, 8019 says, Tuesday night's game is massive for the rest of our season. We can't afford to lose it or relegation will start to creep up on us. Yeah, that's certainly true. We could really get sucked in on Tuesday if we're not too careful. We'll have a look ahead properly to that game towards the end of this evening's show. And then Gary Cooper from Woolwich says, is there any update on the takeover? We badly need strengthening in the January transfer window. Not really heard anything this week. It's still going through the EFL approval stage. I think Richard Corley reported that Roland Duchatelet was being interviewed, I think, or there was some sort of interviews between the EFL and the old owner, or perhaps the new owner, towards the end of last week, so on Friday. So things are still sort of moving along. I know there was a ridiculous rumour going around towards the start of last week which was just not true, so it's still going on, and there's nothing to worry about on that front yet. We haven't heard anything that suggests anything has gone wrong, as of yet, at least. Right, Adam says, it's the first time since Bayer has taken over that I felt like the players just didn't fancy it yesterday. Hopefully it's just a one-off blip and we bounce back on Tuesday. Lockyer back should make us more stable at the back. Still loads of games left and no need to panic and rush too many minutes into Lyle. We need him for the rest of the season. And then ask again if there's any news on the EFL status. Not yet. But yeah, that's the thing with Lyle. I mean, Bo said in his interview that we heard earlier on in the show, you know, it's probably going to be 45 minutes again for Lyle Taylor on Tuesday. And like I said, I mean, we'd love him to be fit enough to come in, play 90 minutes, score loads of goals, but it would be crazy to rush him back and have another breakdown when he's not quite ready yet.
Yeah, I think we've got to be careful with him because it's a long period of time to be to not play football for. You know, 14 weeks. It was a big injury for him. I think he's interviewed a couple of times that he's not really had that sort of injury layup before in his career, so it was. I imagine it's been tough for him mentally as well. So he did only start actually training with the boys, didn't he, on sort of Thursday, Friday. So he's got to integrate back in with the group and get his sharpness up again. And I think I agree. You can't rush him in now to be starting games because you don't want him to break down again and lose him for even longer. So McCauley Bond's been playing well, hasn't he, in his absence. So we've got that position covered, really. And to have Lyle Taylor, if you can bring him off the bench at half time or half an hour or whatever, or if you start him and give him 60 minutes or whatever like that, it's good to have that option while he builds up that matchup, you know, the sharpness that he needs, because we've got a decent option there in McCauley. I've been really impressed with him since he's sort of stepped up, hasn't he, massively. So I think the pressure's off Lyle a little bit to sort of bed back in quickly.
Yeah. Excellent. Right, Tony says, good evening, gents. First of all, a big pat on the back to everyone that travelled up to Mbarra yesterday. Obviously, I didn't, says Tony. It wasn't the best game, actually, probably the worst since Bayer took over. But I always like to think positively, and the real positives on yesterday's game were Lyle Taylor and Albie Morgan slightly improving us in the second half, and Deji Oshilaja had a fairly decent game as well. Now let's focus, let's forget about it and move on to Tuesday's game against Huddersfield. It's a big game and hopefully we can get the 3 points and start off another great run leading us into the Christmas run. It would be great if we can get Johnny Williams back, as he's been instrumental in our midfield and attacking play, which was completely missing from yesterday's game. Injuries have stopped us from picking up more points, but I'm not too worried just yet. I would rather have a bad run now rather than after Christmas or later on in the seasons. Maybe two or three signings in the January transfer window to help us along, but let's all stay positive and trust in Bayer to get out of this little rut. That's much love from Spain and Tony. Yeah, and you do have to try and remain positive. You know, We know about the injury crisis. We know what we can do when everyone's fit. And we know, yeah, it probably is not the worst time to have a little slump in form. If you're having a slump in form going into the closing stages, then it can really get sort of hairy and catch up on you, and you all of a sudden you run out of time to play yourself out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to take yesterday to heart too much, really, because there is a long way to go and there are going to be some seriously big games along the way. I mean, if you look back at this stage last season, I don't think any of us would have thought that we'd have got promoted, you know, because we were struggling off the back of a couple of disappointing results last Christmas. We made some ground up, didn't we, over Boxing Day and everything, and we lost it, and we were thinking that we were going to fall away, and we had a really good and strong second half to the season where we only lost two games in the league in that period. So there's no reason why, once we get the players back that we need, and with the any additions that we're able to get through in January, that we can't go on a decent run of form ourselves. And you know, the aim at the start of the season has always been to stay in the division, and we made up a decent amount of ground at the start of the season to make that possible. We've got people on our tail, of course, but 7 points is a fairly decent buffer from the drop zone, and you're relying on the teams down there to start picking up victories as well. So I'm not getting too panicky at the moment in terms of relegation talk, but naturally I want to see my team win football matches. So it's one of those things where we've sort of doing it with our hands tied behind our backs, because the injuries we have lost, they are instrumental players, like the likes of Larte that's been out for 14 weeks, the likes of Johnny Williams, the Josh Cullens, you know, they're big players for us, and we're missing all of them. So it's been really tough on us.
Yeah, right. Mark Newbury emails in, evening boys. I'm sorry, but I have to shoulder the blame for yesterday's defeat. Instead of going, I've taken Mrs. Chef and the boys to Bluewater, and we have never won when I've gone there. Instead of the football, four visits and four losses. That's a bad record at Bluewater.
Go to Bromley instead.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, hard to see any positives from maybe even Lakeside. It's just over the river. Yeah. Hard to see any positives from the game. And now the next two games are must win, as opposed to maybe a point is fine, as we will start to get sucked into a battle at the bottom with the only bright sparks being Lyle Taylor finally getting back on the pitch, and hopefully Johnny Williams is not too far away. I'm glad we've signed Ledley, as will give us a fresh face, and experience will be invaluable. Also, as I can see, Carlin Grant on Tuesday, but I've got no doubt that he'll score against us. Maybe this time next week we'll be a bit more positive. At least we're not on TV in the new year. That's from Newbury. Yeah, again, it'd be interesting to see what sort of reaction Carlin gets on Tuesday. Which we'll talk about in the preview for the game. But yeah, it just trying to remain positive, and clearly the main message here is no one needs to go to Bluewater when Charlton are playing.
No, just don't do it. Yeah. Mark should know better. Yeah, you've already lost three out of three.
Yeah, he's not heard of online shopping.
Yeah, I know. These do days. That. There's no cake this week either.
Yeah,
so
get with the times.
It's clearly slacking.
Get with the times, Mark. Right, David Todman says, "Hi guys, respect to those that travelled yesterday. You could have written the script for that, given the early goal. Burrows set up to crowd us, but we didn't close down, and we has never got enough quality possession to build pressure. Bold, but it was an error in the end to start Joe Ledley. But the key issue is now we are in the scrap down the bottom. Perhaps need a B game of parking the bus away sometimes. The good thing is that we have a beatable Huddersfield now set up under the lights for a classic at the Valley on Tuesday night." I mean, we have obviously, we go away to teams like West Brom and Fulham, where we started with the three at the back and soaked up pressure and looked to hit on the counter. I mean, that is, we have got a way of playing that works for us away from home. And I guess, you know, you go to a Middlesbrough team where you're thinking, well, we might be able to try and dominate here. It didn't happen whatsoever. Yeah. At least we know there is another way of playing that if we need to. You know, and I wouldn't be shocked to see if Bayer suddenly thinks, actually, I might try something a little bit different away from home over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and as you say, we've got that effective plan B, and we've seen it work at the likes of West Brom and Fulham and places like that. And it's one of those things. Yesterday, we went down so early that we set up to go against a side that are struggling and were desperate for a win, that we probably could have, you know, we could have nicked it. Wouldn't, if we'd have got the early goal, the crowd would have got on their back, and it was one of those, but it just went their way yesterday. They got the early goal, and then you've almost gifted them that confidence, because they were so desperate for a win, and we've given them a pretty good chance of getting that win 53 seconds into the game. So it was, I don't think we could have questioned that too much yesterday in terms of having a plan B. I agree that starting Joe Ledley was probably an error, but we probably looked at that because of his experience. He thought maybe he would soak up a bit of pressure away from home, but rather than Albie, who is someone that's come out and, you know, Bowyer said out many a times that his defensive side of his game isn't quite there yet. So maybe we were looking to be a bit more defensive yesterday and it just didn't pan out that way because we were, you know, trailing and chasing the game after 50 seconds. So I don't know, you know, yesterday was just a bad day at the office. Yeah. And I think that we've seen that we've got the tactics to he freshens it up all the time, Levo, doesn't he, depending on the opposition and how they play. So tactics are there. It's just yesterday was a bad day at the office. So.
Yeah, David did ask as well if there's any idea on the process or the timescale for the EFL thing. So not really in terms of the timescale. I remember on the Friday where the news of the takeover came out, I did ask a few people and was sort of told they were hoping like it might be, you know, a couple of weeks because it had started a couple of weeks before. But at the same time, these things invariably could change. You know, you never know what's going to come up. Like I said, there was one at Wigan a while ago, their takeover, a couple of years ago now, that seemed to take forever. I did some looking into that. The actual EFL part of that process maybe took about a month or 6 weeks. But the reason their one took forever was because of shareholders voting on something, which was the reason that was a lot longer than I was expecting. So hopefully, you know, about a month maybe for the EFL process. And like I say, I was fairly confident that started 2 weeks before we heard about the takeover. So maybe in the next couple of weeks, that's if everything goes smoothly, hopefully that'll be the case. Sebo, just adding, like I say, it was an out of character for the honest group that we have got yesterday, but I am very confident that it was a one-off. Right, don't forget, we've got two home games coming up in the course of the next week. Very unusual to have two evening games in the same week, but Tuesday night we're at home to Huddersfield Town. Then on Friday night, we're at home to Hull City. So two very difficult games, but there is some good stuff happening before the game. Now, you may remember sort of around this time last year as well, fans supporting food banks were collecting outside the back of the West Stand, collecting food for the local Greenwich food bank. They did that twice last year. They're doing it again twice this year ahead of the games with Huddersfield and with Hull. I caught up with Dave Thompson from fans supporting food banks. He told me what they've got planned this week.
The club have very kindly helped the Greenwich food bank. Last year they did it and they're going to do it again this year, and they're on up to Christmas. We're going to be collecting food before the Hull and the Huddersfield games, the Huddersfield and Hull games this week. So we'll be there for a couple of hours before kickoff. We'll have a Greenwich food bank van parked in the West End, and we will take all donations very gratefully received.
Yeah, because obviously the club took part in this initiative last year as well. And did it seemed like it got quite a good reception from the Charlton fans last year.
Yeah, it was great. I think we collect from memory, I think we collected about 400 weight of food, which is pretty much two van loads, which at this time of year in particular, I think it's common knowledge that food banks are being relied upon much more across the country. But at this time of year, especially, we find that there's a big demand, and typically we're under pressure in terms of the spare food that we've got back at the food bank warehouse. So it's perfect timing. And yes, the Chant fans were really generous last year. Mm. And I think the fans, you know, genuinely like an opportunity to do something good at Christmas.
Yeah. And I mean, what sort of items would the fans be, should they be bringing them? What are the sort of food stuffs and that sort of stuff that they're needed most?
Well, the key thing is, unfortunately, we can't take any fresh food. So it all needs to be stuff that's non-perishable. So typically it's tinned food or dried food. If you look down the kind of list, I mean, there's always a bit of a running joke that food banks have got, you know, mountains of beans, for example. I think what they're specifically short of most of the time is tinned fruit, tinned peas, tinned carrots, tinned rice, tinned custard. And long life for fruit juice is always really handy. And one other thing that the food banks collect for, but which is well received, the toiletries. Because very often, you know, if you're short of money, you kind of get your priorities in a line, and we normally find that people are grateful for some toiletries.
Now, of course, football clubs are so big, such a big part of the community, and this is a good way, I guess, for the fans of those clubs to help what is their, of course, their local community.
Ah, oh, brilliant! Absolutely. I mean, that's you know, I think we see it clubs across the country doing it. All of our local clubs do it really, and we're really pleased that Charlton get behind this as well. And it is, you know, it is just a very obvious community initiative. All the food banks in Greenwich are volunteered by local people, and typically all the food we collect is from local people as well. So yeah, it's a fantastic community initiative.
Yeah, and just finally, I mean, if the supporters aren't able to make the games this week, is there any other way that they can donate to the Greenwich Food Bank?
Yes, there's 9 supermarkets across the borough that have collection points. Off the top of my head, there's Tesco's in Woolwich. Certainly my local Sainsbury's Superstore down at Charlton does it. I think Waitrose in Greenwich, down at New Capital Quay. There's 2 co-ops at Well Hall and Herbert Road in Woolwich. And I think the Asda does it as well at Charlton. All of that information's on the Greenwich Food Bank website. But they can do that there. There are also some collection points dotted across the borough. Again, it's on the website, but Charlton House, Eltham Centre in Artery Road, the Forum, Christchurch in Trafalgar Road in East Greenwich, Greenwich Community College in Plumstead, and the Woolwich Centre in Wellington Street. They're all open Monday to Friday, certainly some do Saturdays. But the easiest way I find is just to buy a couple of extra bits when you're in the supermarket and drop them off there, and you know, that works really well.
So excellent stuff. So just to reiterate, you'll be behind the West Stand before both of the home fixtures this week.
Yeah, we will. We'll be there for a couple of hours. Just come along. The food bank van will be there, and we will be very pleased to see you.
Will swing this ball in again, looking towards the far post. Sol with the header. Sol!
Come on!
Matty Sol! At the back post. And Charlton have their second. Just a little dink corner to the back post. Roos totally misjudged it. And Naby Sarr had an open goal.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. Just heard there from Dave Thompson from Football Supporting Food Banks. They're going to be here, Fan Supporting Food Banks, I should say, on Tuesday and on Thursday, on Friday even. So you can donate to your to the Greenwich Food Bank, and it's a good time of year to be doing that. And obviously, I'm sure they'll be desperate for stuff as well. So make sure you get involved in that. Sebo says the Tesco in Lewisham has a food bank donation place as well. So plenty of ways to get involved in that. And I'm sure the Charlton fans will be more than generous when it comes to it on Tuesday and on Friday. Right, let's have a look ahead to that game on Tuesday evening. Then it's Huddersfield Town coming to the Valley. I said must win on Saturday, actually, to be fair, against Middlesbrough, and we have lost, and it's not the end of the world, because really Wigan in 22nd haven't gained any ground on us. But you don't want too many of the teams below you beating us, and having had Luton and Middlesbrough done that recently, we could do without Huddersfield doing it as well.
Yeah, just a bit. I think it's an ideal time to try and bounce back. I think it's always, you can get some special nights, don't you, under the lights at the Valley. So it's an opportunity for us to really push on now, because we've got to bounce back. The bottom line is to avoid getting dragged into anything, you know, in a position we don't want to be in terms of being on the, you know, flirting with relegation. We want to make sure that we turn it around now, because as you said earlier, if you get in a slump, it is quite hard to get out of that lull in form, isn't it? If your confidence take a battering, sometimes it is hard to really pull yourself out of that dip. So we've got to do it at some point. I think being at home is an advantage. Huddersfield down there as well, without a win since early November. So a side struggling in the division as well. So it's an opportunity for us to really turn our fortunes around and hit a nice run of form as we head into the Christmas period.
Yeah, a Huddersfield team coming to us not in the best of form. Obviously, they had a horrible start to the season, having been relegated from the Premier League last year. They drew their second game of the Championship, but that was the only game out of the first eight or nine that they didn't lose. I mean, they started on dreadful form. Obviously, got rid of Ian Stewart, the manager. The Cowleys came in. They had a little bit of a lift. I think they got a couple of results, but since then it started to tail off again. Being at home to Leeds yesterday, which I guess you can't really argue with because Leeds are a good side, but they conceded five at Bristol City on their last away trip. All five of those goals were inside the first 49 minutes as well. In Carlin Grant, they have got a striker who's got 11 goals so far this season. So if it weren't for him, God knows where they'd be, but they're struggling this season. And when you're coming up against a team, so like I say, we're going to find ourselves in a mini league with if we're not careful. These are results that we have to get. And you look at a team that's struggling, this will be a result that Bay will have his eye on as well, because he'll look at a team that aren't on the best of form, especially away from home, and think we need to go there and get 3 points, really.
Yeah, exactly. And being on home soil swings it in our favour, if you like. I think that our fans have really got to get behind the boys, because I think the confidence is dipping a bit. And I think Huddersfield are a good example of what can happen when your confidence is down, because, you know, they had the Premier League relegation last season way before the end of the season and never really picked up any victories even after their relegation was confirmed. And they come into this season with a Premier League worthy side, you know, Premier League players. No one really tipped them to be that close to the bottom, but that mentality is so hard to iron out if you get into a losing mentality. And they carried it into this season, and they saw, you know, that's where we saw Jan Stojbeck leave, and the Cowleys have come in, and they're that upturn, and now they're struggling again, and it's a good time to play them, especially for us, because Boya and Jacko Marsh and everything, they won't accept a performance like Saturday again. They won't. So it's the time now. Is if we were coming up against a Leeds or a West Brom at home or something, it would be quite difficult, because I think our confidence would be down. But I think as a dressing room, I think we'd quite fancy being able to get someone out of Huddersfield.
Yeah, just two wins on the road all season for Huddersfield Town. One was at Stoke, and that was a very quite a late goal as well. I remember listening to that on the radio near the end of might even have been Nathan Jones's last game there, but he wasn't there for much longer after that. And a win at Brentford as well, which was also 1-0, which I vaguely remember they didn't really deserve from what I heard as well. So they're not great on the road. I mean, obviously we've got to concentrate on ourselves. You know, the amount of losses we've had recently is going to affect the players. And you're thinking about, well, who can we freshen up? Who can we bring in to rotate Tuesday? And there isn't really that many who you can do. Obviously, Lockyer's going to be coming back from suspension. Lyle Taylor's going to be up for 45 minutes. But I mean, if you're looking around on that bench, that there's not really too much that you think, you know, he's going to be a dead cert starter, just to try and find something different within the squad at the moment.
No, I think the only change I'd make is bringing Albie in for Joe Ledley. I think that Albie's, you know, sort of crossfield balls and passing, we could really hit Huddersfield on that, especially if you're feeding balls into the likes of Jonathan Lecco. He's probably got the pace to test. You know, they've got defenders like Schindler, Stankovic aren't exactly blessed with pace, so if we're hitting them on the counter like that especially, then it'll probably work in our strength. Apart from that, as you say, I can't really see many changes. Yeah. Unless he starts Lyle and tries to get an hour out of him, I'm not too sure.
Although the weird thing looking at Huddersfield's away form is, because they've only won twice, is they've actually managed to score in every single away game so far this season, which is an interesting run. And certainly Carlin will be up there in those goal scoring charts. Like I said, he's got 11 overall this season. I mean, what sort of reaction do you think Carlin will get, having left in the circumstances he did in January? You remember I was gutted when he left. He came to Peterborough away, and I'd had a few little whispers that he was on the way out on the Friday, so I was surprised to see him there. It sounds like he sort of struck a deal with Bo that he'd played, because this was when Lyle Taylor was still out suspended. Yeah. So he struck a deal that you play Saturday and we'll let you go. What would you think his reaction will be?
I think
did make a move to a Premier League side at the time.
Yeah, I think you look at it on two sides. Is that he's a young player that had a Premier League aspiration and a chance to play at that level with a considerable increase in salary. Huddersfield weren't looking like they were going to stay in the division at that time, so I think some people were probably a little bit baffled as to why he chose them. But I think that it sort of pales into insignificance now, because I think we're in a bad run, and I think that the efforts and the support, I think we've got to focus on our lot. You know, Carlin isn't our player anymore, so I don't think we need to give him any kind of reaction at all. I think he was fantastic for us in that last season, in that half the season before he left. He's left now, so I think you know, turn the focuses towards our guys, because we're going to need it on Tuesday night. We're in a really poor run. We're going to need a lively Valley to sort of be the 12th man and push the boys to try and get the 3 points.
Well, let's hope that is what happens on Tuesday night. Right, we have run out of time here on this evening's Charlton Live. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. A disappointment yesterday up at the Riverside Stadium, a 1-0 defeat. We desperately need to bounce back at home to Huddersfield on Tuesday. Right, thanks to Lewis Catt. You've put up with me pretty much all weekend, really. Because
we've had a little weekend away together, pretty much, haven't we?
Yeah, so thanks for coming in. Good to see you. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. Like I say, we'll be back here on Thursday night. We'll look back at the game against Huddersfield and ahead to the game the next day against Hull. It's a busy week coming up. Let's hope that Charlton can get a fair few points out of it. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Thursday.
Of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.